when I am determined to do something, and then I will fucking do it, and that there's just no questions asked.
What is going on, fam? We are keeping the party going with none other than 4-time CrossFit Games athlete, total badass, Emily Abbott. So prepare yourselves. But before we get to Emily, I am your host, Paul Wenzel, and we are the Uncharted Performance Podcast, aka the Lollapalooza of strength, fitness, movement, and self-development. Our goal, as always, is to learn and apply from the best and the brightest by dissecting and deconstructing their personal journeys and accumulated wealth of knowledge and experience to elevate our performance inside and outside of the confines of the gym, weight room, CrossFit box, wherever you train to become awesome. Once you have enjoyed the podcast, because I know you will, please take a second to rate and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whichever podcast listening platform you rock out on. It makes us feel pretty good about ourselves, but also sheds more light on our awesome guests on the interwebs. If you are looking for new equipment for your training, click that link for Rogue Fitness on our website, unchartedperformance.com. It's an indirect way you can support our podcast. Last but not least, make sure to tag us on Instagram or Twitter whenever you are catching the show. And if you ever have a guest in mind that would be a great fit for Uncharted, let us know. Shoot us an email at contact@unchartedperformance.com. Direct message us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. We definitely want to hear from you. Which brings us finally to Emily. We get into a ton of different topics. Tattoos, growing up in Canada, travel, adventure, getting outdoors, using fitness and strength to experience the world, being one with nature, college basketball, and as you might have figured out, a little bit about CrossFit and what the future holds for this incredible human being. If you are sensing a pattern here, there actually isn't one. This is a conversation about being human, being imperfect, vulnerable, having self-doubt, imbalance, about there not being a finish line, pushing yourself, putting yourself in tough and uncomfortable situations, becoming strong, fierce, aggressive, and daring to be you, and welcoming death knowing you have dared to live. I had a blast during our conversation, and I hope you will have as much fun listening. Make sure to check out the show notes to where you can find and follow Emily if you haven't already, and the link to her awesome new website, Abbott the Red Adventures. If you are free the weekend of December 2nd, come on and visit us here in awesome Cleveland for the Cleveland Clinic Get Fit Expo and the Rogue Winter Classic in association with CrossFit, featuring Scott Panchik, Dan Bailey, CrossFit Games champ Ben Smith, 3-time Games CrossFit athlete Brooke Wells, Alex Smith, and Jen Smith, just to name drop a few. So mark that on your calendar, folks, and come visit. With that, enjoy the episode. Take care, guys. And we are live with Emily Abbott. Emily, thank you so much for joining us on Uncharted Performance.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you are extremely welcome. I'm actually very excited to have you on. Pretty stoked. A lot of the listeners or viewers might know you from obviously the CrossFit space, CrossFit world. But hopefully we'll get into talking a little bit more about adventure. And whatnot. How was your day going? Let's just start there.
Oh man, I'm having those days lately where they're just like the best days of my life. those are really good. I'm training at Invictus right now. I'm just spending some time in San Diego.
Okay.
So I'm training with a group of awesome girls. It's a pretty good vibe at CrossFit Invictus. And just basically getting back into training for CrossFit because I took a bit of time after the games, you know, to just chill out and have some fun. So now I'm in San Diego. I train and then I go body surfing. So I'm actually at the beach right now. And after our discussion, I'm going to go shred some gnar.
That's actually not a bad deal. I think I actually hear some birds in the background. So it's very cool.
Yeah, I know. I thought it'd be maybe like a nice ambience to talk to. It's like there's waves crashing, there's little kids running around, and Yeah, it's a beautiful day. So
yeah, it might be the best ambiance that we had on the show. So it's definitely first. What did you do for fun after the games? And congrats, by the way, on last year.
Oh, thank you.
Last year.
Yeah. What did I do for fun? Well, I actually I went to the Canadian West Coast and hung out with my family. We had some fun, you know, drinking beer and, you know, getting a little crazy.
Okay.
I don't know. Just doing whatever. and then I went south to San Diego. I have some friends out here, and I went on some adventures out to Slab City and the Mexican U.S. border.
Okay.
To get a teeth cleaning, oddly enough. And just having fun, like kind of doing just like the whole regular gym thing, like, you know, a little bit of bodybuilding and nothing too stressful on the body, and lots of surfing, hiking, playing some basketball. You know, I just like to regroup and get back to what I love most, which is just movement. I love to move. I love to use my body for athletic things.
Yeah.
That's when I'm the happiest. So, yeah, that's what I did. And also figuring out, I guess, my next step in life. It's kind of always on the back of my mind. So, yeah, that's basically what I did after the games. And gain some weight, of course, you know, get a little plumper around my thighs and my waist. And I'm totally fine with that because, you know, I like womanly curves too. You know, have a little bit more butt and boob this time of the year. And actually, I also went to Europe for 3 weeks. I went to France and the Netherlands to run some seminars with Lucas Parker.
Okay.
So that was actually a super great experience. You know, meeting people who are stoked about CrossFit.
How was the trip to France and in Europe? How were the Netherlands and France?
Oh, I mean, I had pain au chocolat every day. I had delicious coffee. I had, you know, the Dutch, they love to eat. They fed me panna cokken and, God, just so much good food. And what's great about European CrossFits is that they all have in-house coffee cappuccino machines.
Oh, that's impressive.
So you basically drink, yeah, and it's like free to the members. Well, I'm sure they pay for it in their membership, but it's like you can drink all the coffee you want. You probably drink way more than you should, but it's just so delicious and so available. So yeah, France and the Netherlands was wonderful. Such great people.
Any spots in either of those countries that you recommend to go see for anybody listening or check out?
Definitely. I would go see. I had never been to South France. I only went to Marseille, but I heard that all the places around there, like Toulouse and Nice, are all like super beautiful. I really liked Marseille. It was very, very beautiful. And Amsterdam. I mean, who doesn't love Amsterdam? It's one hell of a city, you know. There's so much going on. So, yeah. I mean, and then I also went to Paris. And,
okay.
God, I love Paris. I friggin' love Paris.
Why?
I've been there a couple of times. There's just so much history, and the city is so beautiful, and it's so accessible, and you know, people are really nice, which is surprising, the French. And I just love the culture. And I was an English degree, so I went there after university for a little like trip with like this English group, and we went to like Sylvia Beach's Shakespeare and Company bookstore, and you know, I just learned a lot about like the expats and the American modernists of the 1920s, and yeah, I don't know, just like it has a lot of significance for me because that's like probably my favorite era of literature.
Okay, very cool, very cool. What drew you to CrossFit Invictus?
Honestly, I just love San Diego.
Okay.
I decided to like come down here and train for a little bit because, you know, I'm 28 and this is probably my last couple of years of CrossFit.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I just basically said, fuck it. Like, let's go have some fun and let's live dream where I can like wake up early and surf and then go train and live right by the beach. Like, why not? You know, like, I just want to do that. Get this, just live the dream, basically. The dream I've always wanted to live and I've been talking about for years. I'm just now finally doing it. And okay. It's scary. Powell, is scary as fuck because it's like super uncertain. I'm so uncertain. But I think in some points in your life, like, that's so good because you're forced to figure things out in a new way. And I'm totally out of my comfort zone. And yeah, like things just, there's so many unknowns. So, I'm just having a little bit of fun right now. And, you know, I'll probably regret this later, but it'll be a good regret and, I'll figure it all out, you know?
Yeah. I think you're making a few people jealous already. me included. The weather's not as nice here in Cleveland right now, but fall's starting. But no, I totally dig the approach and the vibe.
Fall's nice.
It is. Let me kind of bring it back. This is kind of off the cuff question, but since you're Abbott the Red, have you ever been? And I apologize if I butchered the name. Lands of Meadows in Canada. Have you ever been there?
Oh, you mean like like in the national parks?
I think it's the first Viking settlement.
In Newfoundland.
Yes.
Yeah. I've never been there, no.
Okay. I figured I would ask that. That's totally unrelated to anything we're probably going to talk about.
Because it's like a Viking name.
Yeah, it's Leif Erikson, Eric the Red's son settled there. So that's the connection, Abbott the Red and Eric the Red.
Oh, yeah. You know what I actually like kind of my name is more connected to – I'm a little bit of a history buff, but you know, Charles the Hammer was like a – I think a Norman, I want to say Norman warrior. God, now I'm not a history buff, but basically his name was Charles the Hammer.
Okay.
And he was like this crazy warrior. And I was like, oh, maybe I could be Abbott the Red. I know after Charlemagne and Charles the Hammer. Oh, so I don't know.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I do have Scandinavian roots. So maybe, you know. Maybe I have an ancestor that was at Lands of Meadows. Yeah.
Do you know which Scandinavian country in particular? I'm just asking.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I just know that. my mom's maiden name is England, and okay. So it would have been Ingleland or something like that. And yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. steering this conversation.
Yeah, you're asking me such hard questions that I just have not been prepared for.
Sorry. No, but the segue, actually, I'm going to use that as a segue because I actually just got a tattoo and I actually want to talk about tattoos. And it's a Nordic symbol.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Viking symbol for protection. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but I got it on my right forearm. And that's actually, nice. I totally dig your tattoos. So I actually want to get into that first. And how many do you have? What was the first one and the meaning behind them?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 5 tattoos.
Okay.
But I'm six. I just got a little one. And the first one I got was actually on my arm, and it was just the words "Noli irritare leonem," which means "Don't disturb the lion." In Latin, and that's actually my family crest. And when we turn 21 in the Abbott family, you get a little gold signet ring with our family crest on it.
Okay.
So that's just kind of, I guess, like my identity as an Abbott child. And then, that was my first one, and basically it was just for the family.
Okay, are you gonna get any more? Because you have 6 now, right?
Yeah. Oh, I have 7. Actually, I forgot one. I am gonna get some more. Probably this week. One of the tattoo shops here in San Diego, but we'll see.
Okay.
So you know, but yeah, you know, once you get a couple, you want to keep going. So for sure, I definitely will get more.
Yeah, it's definitely addicting. I have 3 myself, and the more I get, the more I need.
Right? I know. But they're fun, you know, and it's just like, you know, it's just self-expression on your vessel.
Yeah,
so,
it totally is, yeah. Actually, yeah. I had a conversation with a couple of the coaches that I coach with, and we were talking about the meaning and of their tattoos versus mine. They're like, oh, wow, that's deep.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because I actually just saw a tattoo recently. It was on Instagram somewhere, on one of the popular, Instagram posters out there, that was like, this tattoo means nothing. And I liked that because it's like, you know, life is somewhat meaningless. So it's kind of great when you can just put something on your body for the fuck of it. Like, why it doesn't have to mean anything. And actually, like, it's really hard for me. I don't know about you, but like when people are like, oh, what do your tattoos mean? For me, that's a super hard question because it's like, well, it maybe there is a time in my life where I was like, oh yeah, they mean something to me. But really, it was just, I was drawn towards a certain look. And for example, like I have some Alphonse de la Mucha inspired artwork on my left arm.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it was just because I felt like that provided me with, I don't know, a lot of inspiration. It was like this ethereal woman who was just like calm and
okay.
Graceful under a pressure, it seemed like, always. But yeah, I guess that's meaning. But really, it's like, really, if you look at it, like our tattoos are just, they mean nothing. Like, it's kind of meaningless. But I guess we like to assign meaning to them because it's like, it's for us, right? But then when you try to explain that to someone, it's like they kind of get this blank look across their face and it's like, ah, yeah, see, like I can't really convey what my tattoos meant because it was like so internal, I guess.
Okay,
but
yeah. And
maybe I'm getting too philosophical.
No,
here.
Not at all, because actually they got the same look that you're kind of describing.
Right?
Yeah, because
they're like, oh, sweet, dude. Like when you discuss your tattoo, you're like, okay.
Yeah, whatever, pal.
So
yeah,
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, sweet man. Like, this guy is, yeah. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. It's they're interesting to talk about, but they're almost hard to talk about because whatever you say, whatever words you try to describe your tattoos aren't going to be, they're not going to come out the way that you wanted them to come out. They're not going to ever describe what your tattoo
is, yeah.
Meant to you. Yeah. That's
very
what
good
I find,
point.
At least.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to try to get us back on course, and I apologize.
Okay, no worries.
So you obviously you are from Canada.
Yes.
And Calgary. Olympics,
yes.
Like 88, right? Something like that? I might be totally
off.
Yeah,
I was born 1 year after.
Okay. All right, favorite thing to do growing up in Calgary?
Definitely heading to the mountains.
Okay.
Snowboarding, skiing, tobogganing. All that fun stuff. I grew up on the mountains. I was really fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Like my parents took me to the mountains a lot, like since I was five. And then I was like sent on every Saturday. I was sent on this bus up to the mountains to do like skiing and snowboarding. So I was super lucky. So that's the best wintertime activity. And then of course summertime. I grew up on a ranch in Southwest Calgary. So I was put to work a lot of ranch work. I hated it at the time, but when I look back, I realize like what a special upbringing that was. And my dad was always doing crazy shit. Like we built a potato cannon. We always would shoot that off. We'd be shooting guns, you know, riding around on ATVs, like having to herd cattle back in and, you know, just going on various adventures on the ranch. And of course, hiking, going out and camping, hiking, there's lots of beauty in Alberta. So I think the mountains and the foothills where I grew up played a central role in that.
Okay. How do you go from that to basketball?
Oh, that for basketball? Well, I think it's interesting. I've talked about this with my siblings, and I think the great thing about our upbringing is that we were forced to kind of do crazy shit. Like we were put in tough situations all the time.
Uh-huh.
Where my dad just kind of expected us to figure it out.
Okay.
And that was super useful because then when I like high or elementary or whatever, I was always like drawn towards putting my body on display in terms of like sporting activities.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was comfortable in that realm. And I kind of liked that aggressive, I could be aggressive and I could be fierce. And it was just a really great way, a great outlet. And so I actually, when I was in grade 5 or 6, my parents put me in this little group of girls that was called Team Sports School, that was run by this guy named John Chicos, who was the Canadian national water polo coach at the time. But he really saw the value in teaching young women sports and, you know, basically autonomy through sport. So every day after school for like 2 hours, I'd play either basketball, volleyball, soccer, or water polo.
Okay.
So I got really comfortable with just playing sport, and I learned so much about like hard work and, you know, ethics and that kind of stuff. And I guess ultimately I just continued to play basketball and volleyball and soccer as well, but basketball and volleyball were my main loves. You know, and then I would do track and field and kind of all the things that schooling had to offer. But I've always played club basketball and club volleyball. And ultimately, like I was going to go play post-secondary volleyball, but I decided I had a better offer for basketball at University of Windsor. And I just felt the coach was super passionate. And so that's where I just had affinity for it and for her and her vision and her dream. So that's where I ultimately chose to go.
What was her vision and her dream?
It was super cool. Her name's Chantel Vallée, and uh-huh. She's actually one of like the most winningest Canadian basketball coaches in the CIS, and which is Canadian Intersport, you know, league.
Uh-huh.
And she basically came to me and she said, "Look, like, I think I was playing at some club tournament, a provincial tournament in what's it called in Calgary," and she came and was scouting me, and she said, "Look, like, our team is." University of Windsor women's basketball team, like, we're shit. And I just took over the team, but my vision is that we are going to win a national championship. And she's like, and I want you to be a part of that. And I just loved her passion and her fire. And basically, it was like a crazy ass vision.
Uh-huh.
It was like, yeah, like, no, everybody expected her to like not succeed. So I basically, I just took that chance, and it was so awesome. And within my third year, we were competing in the finals at the national level against Simon Fraser University. And then in my fourth year, we won the national championship. And then in my fifth year, we won again the national championship. So, I mean, it paid off, and it was a ton of hard work. And like, she was insane, you know, like sometimes we'd come back from like being on the road, and if she didn't, even if we won and we hadn't played to like the level that we could, uh-huh. she'd make us practice from like midnight to 5 in the morning and, you know, just like yell at us. But I loved it. I loved it. I was like, I love the idea that like she could push me and she couldn't break me.
Okay.
And that was super, super empowering. And I realized, you know, I'm like, maybe I'm not normal because I like that. I learned so much. And you know, like it wasn't like we were a Div 1 school. It's like, it's not like we're treated like royalty. We don't get a bunch of money or like gear or anything. We had to fight for a lot. We were the true underdogs. We had to fight for everything, even against the school that was supposed to be supporting us. You know, we really had to fight for our space. So, it was an amazing journey. And I tell her this all the time. I still text her like, or send her emails being like, look, like, you developed me into the woman I am today, and I continue to look for ways to grow. And I had accountability and strength to her.
Okay, that's a pretty quick turnaround. By college basketball standards, what position did you play?
Shooting guard.
Okay.
So I could bring up the ball, but you know, my jam was, you know, I wasn't like the biggest scorer. I wasn't the biggest offensive player. I scored when I needed to, like, you know, 3-point shots or like driving it or dishing it. But my big thing was, like, I was a defender. Like, I would guard the best player on the other side, and I was like, I'm not gonna fucking let them score at all.
I didn't see that coming at all. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
My skills aren't that great. I could just work really hard.
I had the privilege of playing high school ball and then intramural basketball in college, undefeated senior year. Similar. I was a you know, power position, not a great scorer, but my thing was the playing defense and boxing out and grabbing some boards.
Right? Okay, like Dennis Rodman, or like, you know, like you're in there, you're getting dirty, you're doing the dirty man's work, but every team needs those players. So
yeah, Dennis Rodman was my favorite player growing up.
Oh, that's awesome. So there you go. Yeah.
Was there any chance of playing professionally or afterwards, or like in Canada or like in Europe or anywhere?
I mean, again, like I wasn't on paper like the huge offensive scorer, which is probably it's harder to go play professionally. Like I definitely could have gone if I really want. I think I had been a little bit more confident in my abilities at that time, like 23, I should have gone for it. I should have went and played like in Slovenia or like some random ass country for a year or two, you know, just for the experience. And it's too bad, because now, like, knowing what I know about like life and how you just really, you have to take chances even if you're scared, I would go for it. A lot of my girlfriends play in Germany or Russia, and a lot of my girlfriends or my old teammates play for Team Canada. So they're nice. badass chicks. Yeah, they're awesome. So I think there was a chance there, but I was too, you know, I thought I wanted something different. I thought I wanted to just be this, you know, world traveler.
Okay.
But the thing is that sport would have taken me to become a world traveler. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. And so now here I am doing fast exercising, you know. Yeah. And I still get to travel a lot with that. So exactly. Everything kind of – it's funny how things just – the universe will just, like, send you on a path, even though it may take you a little bit longer to get there.
Yeah, for sure. So how does one go from playing basketball and to get into CrossFit? Because from my personal experience, there's not a lot of I don't see a lot of carryover. Maybe like sprinting and coordination, and toughness, right? And toughness and kind of like mental fortitude.
Yeah.
But there's not like a lot of heavy lifting.
But we would be training in the weight room. And, you know, I'm so stupid. I was like, oh, weights are making me bulky. But really, it was just because I was drinking pizza or drinking beer and eating pizza, like, you know, every night, basically, just not acting like an athlete at all. So I was always like lifting. I was always, and I was always naturally quite strong because I think of all the ranch work I had been doing. The carryover was, I think just the whole like competitive mental toughness edge. And, you know, when I started CrossFit, I couldn't do a single pull up. I couldn't do a handstand or any of that crap. Mm-hmm. So, I was traveling, and at the time, I just remember this is a story I repeat often because it's so clear in my mind. I remember waking up at 6 a.m. in Paris in the 17th arrondissement, and I was staying at just renting an Airbnb room, and I was waking up at 6 a.m. so I could go do Sean T. Insanity. Remember those videos?
Yeah.
Like I was doing plyometrics in my like little, you know, French apartment room flat. And I was like, and I just remember thinking to myself, like, God damn it. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, why can't you just relax and, you know, drink your wine and eat your croissant and go search around and you just travel. But I guess purposelessness wasn't very good for me. I went back to North America, and my boyfriend at the time suggested that I try CrossFit. He's like, I think you'll be really good at this. And, you know, I went in there and, you know, did my on ramp or whatever, and did my first workout, and then I was just like, oh yeah, like this is so for me, because it's just about pushing myself. And I had a great cardiovascular base from basketball. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was just like, okay, let's do this. And then after I did it for a couple months, I was like, you know, I think if I committed to this for a year, I could be really good. So I moved back to Calgary, and you know, I found the closest gym to me, and I just started training.
Okay.
And that was it.
Why did you think you could be good at it?
Because I was really strong.
Okay.
That was basically it. And okay. I picked it up really fast. I think I just had maybe a pure athleticism that you know, I'm a visual learner, so
okay.
I was able to pick those things up fast. And I kind of got into it at the right time, right? Like 2012, 2013, there wasn't many like super strong girls yet. It's so much different now. It's so much more competitive, but I kind of was there at the right time and right place. And I wasn't necessarily like amazing by today's standards, but I was there. Yeah, and I was strong as fuck. So I could I just kind of did what I had to do.
Yeah, strike when the iron's hot kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
There are a number of things I am not good at. Surfing, statistics, accounting, WordPress, and my split jerk needs some work. These are a few that come to mind right away. What I am good at, though, is knowing what I am not good at and knowing when to stop to try to figure things out on my own, ask for help, and list those that are much more knowledgeable. While working on multiple projects, coaching, self-development, and training, aka getting jacked and Sopel, my time is the most valuable commodity, so I need to be efficient with how I dedicate it. Which brings me to Ceteris. As a health and fitness entrepreneur, dealing with your finances, accounting, and tax preparation can be a headache. March and April are not my most fun months of the year. Ceteris specializes in accounting for health and fitness businesses and takes care of all that work for you. For you. So you can focus on the things that you need to focus on, like programming for your clients, or taking your next certification, while giving you full access through your financial data and benchmark reporting through their platform, Ceteris Edge, which is built on top of QuickBooks Online. While they offer tax accounting, many of their customers also retain their current CPA and use Ceteris for month-to-month accounting and benchmark reporting, which their CPAs also love. To learn more about Ceteris Fitness Business Accounting and Benchmark Reporting Solution, please visit www.ceteris.com/UnchartedPerformance. If you sign up through our podcast, you will get 50% off your first 2 months. We'll include that link in the show notes. So if you're listening on the go, make sure to jump to our website and this episode. Key benefits of Ceteris. Do it for me. Your accounting and bookkeeping should be done for you by a team of experts who know accounting for your business inside and out. Benchmark reporting. Small business entrepreneurs can operate better business when they can compare their financial performance against peers in their industry. Ceteris provides peer benchmarking with franchise brands to optimize entrepreneurs' insights. A team, not a person. With a team of experts behind you, you should never worry about what happens if your account goes on vacation. Industry-specific expertise. Your accountant should specialize in businesses like yours to ensure that they know how to optimally code and categorize your transactions. Professional response time. A dedicated point of contact will respond to emails and requests within 24 hours. Cloud-based, your accounting should be kept up to date securely in the cloud. No risk of losing data, no sending large files back and forth, and you can access your financials anywhere, anytime. And for us on the go, mobile entrepreneurs are on the move, having the most critical information on the health of their business in the palm of their hand allows for better and faster decision-making. So get back doing to and focusing on the things that drive you and your passion, and get help with all that fuzzy math stuff. Again, link is www.ceteris.com/UnchartedPerformance. And now back to the show. So were you like, hey, I can be good at this, or let's go for the games?
I think I could be good at it. And I was like, I'm going to start training for the games. And
okay.
That in 2013, I decided that. And then by the next year, I had made it to the game somehow. But it's because I'm also, there was still like mini regionals or whatever. Yeah. I competed in Canada West. There was really no like stellar athletes from that region. So, that's just kind of how it went. Like I said, it was like right place. It was like almost like divine intervention. Like they're like, yeah, okay, we're going to send you to the games when I wasn't really have no business being there yet. But you know, whatever.
I like how you're downplaying it.
But, well, yeah, because I wasn't that good. Like, I mean, I could barely string together muscle ups, and you know, I really didn't understand even what a bar muscle up was. And then that year, the 2014 year, it was like so many gymnastics. So, whatever. You just get out there and you got to do it.
Yeah. So whatever. If you weren't good then, right? Supposedly, or relatively speaking, how do you get good or better? And because I mean, you keep coming back, right? You've made it a few times, consecutive years,
yeah.
And you're ending up in the top of the field. So how do you keep getting better, and what keeps you coming back?
I think because like after every year, I'm like, man, I know there's still more room for growth. Like,
yeah.
I feel like after my first year, I was like, I just scratched the surface. After my second year, I'm like, hell yeah, like I for sure got this. And then third year, had some setbacks, but I was like, I still finished top 20. This year I trained so much better, so much happier. The process was way more fun. Got 19th, and maybe right now I'm having a little bit of more of a, like, I guess an existential crisis of, you know, what am I gonna do? But I think I've decided that I'm just gonna have as much fun as possible and enjoy every day, because man, it's like you could die at any moment. So yeah. It's like I just want to get out there, and I think maybe it's just that like don't give a fuck attitude. It's just like, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm happiest competing, and I'm happiest training, and I just really don't care what anybody thinks. And it's kind of my, I guess that's something I live by, and maybe it works, but who knows? You know, like I could not make it this year easily. Because it's so competitive, but whatever.
True, and we've had a obviously I think 60 or so guests to this point, and a lot of them kind of echo the same thing. That's, you know, they've had the most success, or they felt the best when they just kind of, you know, quote unquote, stopped giving a fuck and started having a good time.
Yeah, isn't that the case? The more you get invested in something, it's like you've entered the path of most resistance, and when you're aloof and just, you know, not taking it too seriously, it's when you enjoy, like, have the most success. But I also think daily habits, like what are you doing on the daily to make your goals come true? And I was just talking about this with CJ actually at CrossFit Invictus, and I think that's the hardest part for most people is just consistency. And luckily I've created a life, like, you know, people are like, oh, how do you do this? Well, it's like, honestly, first off, I don't have a fucking life, because I'm in the gym all day. Like, that's why I have a six pack, because I'm working out at a ridiculous amount. So, but then secondly, I've created a life in which I can do that. I'm very, very fortunate for what I have. I'm super grateful for what I have. So I'm able to devote a lot of my time to CrossFit and training, and also recovering, right? Having the downtime, having time to meditate, having time to read, having time to get body work done. Those things are all, it's just daily habits, weekly habits that build up over time. And, I guess they say, Malcolm Gladwell said it takes 10,000 hours to become a pro or whatever. I mean, I don't think that's true for everyone, but I think for me, I guess in my life, when I am determined to do something, and then I will fucking do it. And there's just no questions asked. And so
I just
make it happen.
Have you ever been in a situation when you had that approach and it wasn't happening, at least at first? Like you hit a brick wall, or at least at first.
Yeah, I think that a lot of it is like, it's funny because like in basketball, when I wrapped up my self-worth and identity in basketball, basically I had a really hard time succeeding, like, because I lived and died by it if I played well on the court. Uh-huh. So I think that it's the same that goes for CrossFit. If you live and die by your results, then you're not going to have the success ever that you want. It's going to be empty. It's because you're trying to, like, get to a destination all the time. You're trying to get to, like, this point of, like, extraordinariness, and it's not there. It's not real. It's so I think, yeah, there have been times when I've just invested myself maybe too much, and perhaps maybe that's what's going on with my CrossFit life right now. I'm, like, too invested, too serious about it, too wrapped up in it. And I think that's when you feel a lot of pushback, because you're just frustrated with yourself, with your results, you know, and you're like, I'm not good enough. I'm not this, I'm not that. Instead of just being like, hey, this is where I am right now, and stop thinking, just keep moving forward. Yeah. So
what?
Yeah. And also learning to enjoy life.
Okay. So what is the process that you go through? I guess if you could verbalize it, because I a lot of people, including myself, kind of do the same thing, to kind of separate, I guess, yourself from being so invested and tying yourself up in results and whatever that may be. That may be CrossFit, your job, or, you know, losing weight, trying to get a 500-pound squat, whatever it may be.
I think it's cool that humans were so amazingly motivated to do, like, crazy shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to, like, put in a little disclaimer. Like, to tell you the truth, pal, like, I don't really know. I'm a little bit of a directionless person. I never really know where I'm going. And I'm crippled a lot by self-doubt, to tell you the truth. Like, I'm like, oh, is this right? You know, I think most women could relate to that for sure. But I do know, like, for me, like, I wanted to be a national championship basketball player. So what did I do? I went and I played for a very demanding coach, and it was painful. It was painful because I had to come to terms with a lot of my shortcomings and a lot of my bullshit that I, you know, that I kept. It was being pointed out, basically, what was holding me back. And that was, like, at that time, I would blame everybody else for my problems. So I went down a path where there was someone around me that was keeping me very accountable. So then basically transfer that to CrossFit. You know, it came, I learned from basketball, like, oh yeah, it's everything that I do in my day is up to me and nobody else. And so basically you have to say to yourself, like, no, like, I am going to spend another half hour in the gym because this is what I want. And I know that if I spend that extra half hour doing the skills that I need to do, it's going to make those daily habits will make a difference for my success.
Okay.
But at the same time, yeah, it's hard because you want to do those daily habits, but you also don't want to get caught up. Like, you don't want to get caught up being like, oh, I can't miss the gym because, you know, my friends want me to go hiking this weekend, but mm-hmm. I can't because I have to do a Fran. Like, when your priorities are that skewed, I don't think that's healthy either.
Gotcha.
So I think there's periods of imbalance where it's like, yeah, my whole life right now is about CrossFit. It's like, I'm, you know, training for reach tournaments, I'm training for the games. But for me, I know I go crazy because if all my life is just CrossFit and I don't get to go express myself, like, on a mountain, like climbing a mountain, if I don't get to go, you know, surfing or snowboarding or biking or doing some crazy shit, like playing tennis or I don't know, then I know that I'm like, my priorities aren't right. If I am missing, like, let's say my sister's birthday because I have to squat, I have fucked up priorities.
Yeah.
So I think, I guess what you're asking, like, I'm not answering it very well, but I think what it comes down to is that you have to have your priorities straight. What takes precedence over another thing? And how's that going to affect your happiness? I know for me, like, I'm not a robot. So the more robotic I came and the more invested I came in that robot process and being like, yeah, I should be able to feel fine all the time and squat well all the time and show up to the gym every day and hammer out weights and I should be able to snatch 180 every day. If you become obsessed with those numbers, that's when you don't have success because you're not happy anymore. You're trying to be non-human, and that just doesn't make sense. So you're human, and you're not. I think people are always trying to, like, you know, we see on social media, like, Captain's David's daughter and, like, all these athletes that are seemingly perfect. That can be a source of inspiration, but it can also be, you know, anxiety inducing because you think you should be something, but whatever you are right now is what you are. Like, there's no finish line. So I don't know. Yeah. I guess I'm just as confused as everyone else out there, Paul.
So. No, that's awesome. That's actually, that's a perfect answer. It's awesome. This
is something I'm always thinking about. And okay. I think it's something I meditate on often. I have conversations a lot about this, and it's how invested is too invested in, and should I just, you know, show up to the gym and just totally enjoy that? I get to train all day and be with awesome, strong girls, or should I, you know, there's another side of me that's totally loves, like, so many other things, like philosophy and literature, and, you know, there's so many cool things to do in this world. So it's like, yeah, I don't know what the answer is. And I guess I'm just trying to figure that out. But I think that you have to look at your happiness.
So which one does
priorities?
Which of those things bring you more happiness? Is it, you know, hiking, or, you know, skydiving, or is it training, or is it kind of dependent on time and space and environment, or where your head's
at? I think the latter. Like, okay, there are times when I'm just like, ah, fuck CrossFit, I'm gonna go do some fun stuff, and then there's times where I'm like, God, I love training, God, I love squatting. So it's like, yeah, I think it's dependent on, you know, like, I think the human consciousness is, it's that we have a roller coaster of emotions, and but also, you know, that those emotions are transitory. They're not going to be there. You're not going to feel like this every day. You're not going to feel great every day. Sometimes you're going to feel like shit. Okay, so when I feel like shit, I'm going to go jump in the water. I'm going to go surf. I'm going to go have fun. And then I'll get, you know, get off the tracks a little bit, and you know, get some divine connection with the universe through movement, through surfing, and being part of the ocean, or whatever it is for you. Get back into that focus, and, you know, whatever my next career path will be, I think it'll probably always be like this. So okay.
Are you afraid of anything? Is there anything that scares you?
I used to be super afraid of, like, mediocrity, but then I realized that no, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Okay.
I think modern living and how blessed we are in North America, it's, you know what, like, life is so fucking good. We have it so, so good. And yeah, you know, I'm not even afraid of death. I probably will welcome it when it comes, but I think maybe the one thing I am afraid of is, like, the death of loved ones. People that are really close to me, because okay. You just know what kind of pain that'll induce. But yeah, probably that.
Let's say me and you are on a flight to wherever. Let's say we're flying to Paris. We don't know each other. I ask you, who is Emily Abbott? I recognize you, and I know you CrossFit and stuff. You know, mm-hmm. and I know you're okay. You know, kind of. I'm being sarcastic, obviously. But who is Emily Abbott and you can't say CrossFit or anything related to CrossFit.
Yeah. Okay. I would say I'm an adventurer. I'm a lover of all movement, and and yeah, I'm just stoked about life in general.
Okay.
So that's probably what I would say.
All right, I'm gonna pull on that thread a little bit. So if you can choose your own adventure, like those old books, I think.
Yeah.
Where do you go? What do you do?
I go somewhere where I can express myself. Like the times I've felt the best in my life have been when I felt, I guess, one with nature. I know that sounds super cliche and probably pretty corny, but it's so true because really all we're trying to do is like we're locked in our own consciousness. So when you're able to just be one with something, I think that's when life is really special. So if I could, like the best time of my life was I went to the Canary Islands and I surfed for a week. And it was so, there's so much freedom there. And it was kind of intense too, because the waves were really big. But yeah, that would be my adventure, like going to a new place and doing some kind of activity there, whether that's surfing or spelunking or hiking or cave diving, that experiencing those interesting adventures and would be really cool. And also like experiencing ordinary life in those places.
Okay. Yeah, we just got back from Scotland a few weeks back. And
cool.
Yeah, if you haven't been, I definitely recommend it. It's pretty unreal. But just like getting out of like Edinburgh and like out into the country and that kind of ordinary, I guess, quote unquote, ordinary life in the village and surrounded by that landscape was pretty surreal. Mm. It was pretty surreal.
Yeah. A lot of history there too. It's like ancient.
It is. We were around stones that were like, or just like ruins that are like 5,000 years old. So it's pretty unreal.
Yeah, that's insane.
What's the one thing you haven't tried but you want to try in terms of like an activity?
Oh God, I don't know if that's if it's appropriate for a podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
keep it PG.
I wasn't even alluding to sexual things. I'm just kidding. Base jumping. I haven't tried base jumping. I think that would be, or like squirrel suit diving. I think that would be a total adrenaline rush. Maybe one day I'll try it.
Okay. So this all leads me to Abed the Red Adventures. Because when I saw this website pop up, first of all, congrats on the website. It's very well put together. Flow is awesome. It's beautiful to look at.
Thanks. Yeah. My friend Vinciane DePape, she created that for me. And she has exquisite taste. So I was very lucky.
Yeah, and the logo is cool too. What is that about? Is that the next step in the renaissance of Emily Abbott? Is that where we're headed?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, God, I went on some like adventures when I was a couple of years back, and I just love the idea of helping or like being with people when they have great experiences. And if I could get it going, if I can get it to what I want it to be, I think it could be a really, really special thing. And I'm definitely trying to get that going and take people on trips to Mexico and maybe expand that to all of. Yeah, it's definitely something I would, it's kind of like my dream job. I just want to share with people. I want to share with them like crazy experiences and wonderful experiences and maybe a little bit of suffering and of, you know, some fitness or some death marches in between.
Okay. So we're going to hold you to that because there's like one blog out there right now.
I know. I just finished my next blog post.
Okay.
And I'm actually trying to get into work. So I'm discussing it with a friend this week of setting up an adventure for the 2018 year. You know, in between, it's kind of hard in between like competitions and training and you know, sponsorship obligations. But yeah, I would love to get that in motion. And I just want people to sign up, you know, and trust that I will take care of them.
Yeah, we'll definitely link that up. And we definitely, guys, if you're listening, gals, please check it out. It's we're really big into that as well, travel, adventure.
Yeah.
So let's make it happen. I'm gonna start winding
make
down.
Make it happen. Well, thank you. You know what? You're giving me that motivation because I'm like, I totally need some fire under my ass to get that going. So, no more bullshit.
No, because I saw you posting. I was like, the blog post went out a while back. I'm like, I mean, the website's beautiful. You got to add to it. You know, don't let it go to waste.
All right, you know what? You're right. I will be accountable, pal.
Yeah, skip the surfing today, maybe. I'm just saying.
No, I'm going.
All right, I'm gonna start winding down. I'm gonna let you go in a few minutes. But we're gonna do some quick rapid fire questions. The first word that comes to mind when I say these things, okay? Your mom. Okay. Your mom.
Renaissance woman.
Okay, that was two words, but I'll let you go. I'll let you get away. your dad.
Crazy.
Calgary or Paris?
Calgary.
Favorite movie?
Midnight in Paris.
Okay. Madison.
Madison?
Yeah.
You said?
Yeah.
Midwest.
Okay. 2018.
Best year yet.
And 2030.
A long time away.
That was way more than one word. what's the immediate future hold for you?
Immediate future, I'm gonna go jump in the ocean right now. I'm gonna train. I'm going to the desert this weekend, and then I'm going to Costa Rica at the end of the month for a CrossFit competition.
Okay. Very cool. For those that might, you know, not know about you yet, or haven't heard of you, where can people find you?
On Instagram at abbottthered.com. Abbottthered. I'm also on Facebook as Emily Abbott CrossFit Athlete. Haha. And Twitter, Abotsky439. And then, of course, my website, abbottthered.com.
Awesome. And as always, we will link that up to the show notes on the website. Emily, thank you so much. I had a blast. Much more than I expected. So thank you for a wonderful conversation. And thank you again for taking the time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You got it.
Yeah. I'm sorry if I just made people more confused, but shit, no. I'm trying to figure it out too.
No, I think it helps. I think it helps to hear from people like yourself that it's gonna be all right.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
All right. So on that note, Emily, have a great time in the ocean, and hopefully we'll catch you later.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
You got it.
Have a good one.
Another amazing episode in the books, fam. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. If you are new to the show, don't be afraid to check out other episodes. And if you dig the content, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. If you ever have any questions, feedback, or you just want to hit us up, please don't hesitate. Email address is contact@unchartedperformance, or you can hit me up directly at powell@unchartedperformance.com. Facebook and Instagram at Uncharted Performance, and if Twitter is your thing, at Reach Uncharted. And give us a follow and tag us to let us know who and where you are. As always, thank you for listening and supporting the podcast, and talk to you next week. Cheers, guys.